Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, March 26th. I'm Ray Graff. My friends, it's that time again. It's Pets and Vets. And joining us, Dr. Susan Sekulli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga, and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. You got a question about your dog or cat? Give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Doctors Sekulli and Dallas, and your pet questions coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls, Dr. Susan Sekulli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga. Dr. Sekulli is a vet who has been specializing in feline care for more than 25 years. Also here, Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach with an emphasis on Chinese medicine. You want to give us a call? This is a great time. It's a popular show. Sometimes you don't get in. 800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. 2551, or feel free to email as well. voxpop@wamc.org is the email address. Dr. Susan Sekulli, it seems like months and months since you've been on the show.
It's been a while, I think. Yeah.
You're holding out on us. It's nice to have you back.
It's nice to be here.
Chris Dallas, you were here last month on a solo appearance.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, well, okay. Although, really, I miss Sue when the cat questions come.
Exactly.
Well, I do cats,
okay.
But not
I
like
miss
you
when the dog questions come
you're
on.
You're the dynamic
so.
Duo. Well, that's Susan, right. You gave me this thing, and I don't know what it means. It says, FDA conditionally approves drug for management of ventricular hypertrophy in cats. What is that, and what's the med?
Ray, I did my homework. I knew I was coming on, and I always like to share something new with
you. Need
thank
that.
You for doing that.
Yeah,
too,
it's great. So the newest one that has come out, there has never been a drug specifically geared toward treating cats with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, enlarged heart, which is a very somewhat seriously common in the large breed cats, specifically Maine Coons. We see it in the Sphinx, but then we see it in the regular, you know, domestic short hairs too.
Hang on, what's a Sphinx?
A Sphinx is that hairless one.
Oh,
we see lots of
okay.
Those.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
That's okay. But they are known to also have some congenital heart problems.
Okay.
So this drug has come out. I went to a conference last September. It was just starting to show the studies that showed some really good promise, and it just got, like 2 weeks ago, got FDA conditional approval for it. Of course, like most drugs, it's already being used in Europe.
Is that a
really
shot at
good...
the U.S. system? Wait a minute.
Nope. Just noticing.
Right.
And it's what I like about it is that it can be used when the cat is first recognized that it's having thickening of the heart and given to really prolong the clinical signs of a problem. And it has some really good promise. So projected to come out in the summer of 2025. But we're all excited. And it's given a couple times a week, too,
if
what I thought I read somewhere on it. I did a little research on it. But once weekly, yeah, which I
That's
don't
nice.
Know what type of medication it's going to be yet. The drug companies work on that.
Uh-huh.
But very cool.
All right, so this is good. You're excited about this?
I am excited.
Yeah,
these are new drugs just
news.
For the kitty cats.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. And so when they study these drugs, and I'm sure I've asked you this before, but I'm famously senile. when they test these, is it a similar process to drugs for humans?
Sure, with a placebo effect, and absolutely, and take cats and get them involved. In fact, I know colleagues, and even I've been involved in some studies. So we take these cats that are, these, I think this was more experimental. dental, so I think it was in within a the North Carolina University, the vet school there.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, so they do ones with the drug and ones without, mm-hmm. and watch the progression of the heart muscle.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
How would you know if your cat had this?
Had heart problems?
Yeah.
Good question. Anything from vomiting sometimes can be an indicator of it, to increased, exercise intolerance, we call it. Like, they just don't run as much or play as much.
You pretty know? They're intolerant just of it.
Like open mouth.
Maybe I can get some of this
breathing,
stuff.
Maybe some open mouth breathing at a young cat. Yeah. A fair number we pick up with a heart murmur. A fair number we never hear a heart murmur.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. Sadly, a friend of mine, her cat was found dead, unfortunately, in their house. And that's the thought is that he had a silent, you know, version of this disease. And, you know,
that's the acute death that we think happened.
Yeah.
The other part that's sort of neat is the genetic testing of this, too. Mm. We're starting to do more of that. So then the client can do a little swab, and similar to ours, they're starting to do testing.
That's nice.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Real cool.
It's Pets and Vets today with Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. Well, Chris, Susan brought something to the table. What'd you bring?
I got nothing.
Nothing? No. All right, let's just go to the email then.
No, just keeping my head above water. All right, that's about it right now.
This one's from Christine. Hi, and thanks for taking my email. Well, you're welcome. We just had a cat, age 16, who was diagnosed with kidney disease and is now on a KD diet. Mm-hmm. I have two questions. One, why is KD diet a prescription only? Why do I have to get a prescription every time I want to buy this food? And two, is there an alternate, maybe a more healthy diet that we might cook at home for the cat? Since what I'm learning is kidney diet is not a very healthy diet. Any advice you could give would be very much appreciated. And that's from Christine.
Christine, what a great question. Yes, really good question. Yeah. It is a very, very controversial question, too.
It really is.
Yeah. So what the problem with kidney failure is they can't excrete, the kidneys don't work as well, right? So they can't excrete the protein that comes through the kidneys well. And so the theory way back when was, let's limit the protein.
Yeah.
And contrary to that idea, if you limit the protein, that's what they need to build muscle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we should be on a protein diet. And so that's the controversy.
Yeah.
And Chris, I know we have had our own conversations. Yeah. I like the early renal ones because I don't think they're as restrictive. But I'm really hesitant to go to a real strong kidney. And their prescription, most of them are, because they are restricted in their protein. So they're not ones that you would give to a normal cat.
Okay. Yeah.
They would have to be prescribed. Although it's come into a gray zone. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of brands out there now that I've seen.
Prescription?
Non-prescription, actually.
Oh, over the counter.
You can get Chewy, or not Chewy, in the pet store.
Mm. I don't know those. I also will have people just feed canned food and maybe add some sort of carbohydrates to just bump the protein down a little bit. So if they want something a little less, I mean, it's still processed food, so it's not that much better, but at least it's canned. And then I have people like add sweet potato or squash or something like that.
Interesting.
Just to bump
now,
down
do
the
cats have two kidneys like we do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If money was no object and I was a super wealthy fellow and my cat had an issue with the kidney, they do transplants?
Yes.
They do?
Yep. At the Animal Medical Center. Well, they used to. I don't know if they still do. When I was there, we did transplants and dialysis.
Wow.
Yep.
Transplant for a kitty cat. That's got to be expensive.
Yeah, it was back then.
Do you think you can get a brain transplant for my cat?
I'm sorry, Mitchell.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Oh, my God, this is a long email. All right, the show will be over by the time I'm done with this. But let's do it anyway. It's from Anonymous. Will you please have Dr. Ciculli discuss the Chewy tabs I was able to give my cat for hyperthyroidism? Callers often speak of the messy creams put into cats' ears and the struggle with getting them to take a pill. Our cat took the Chewies for years. They were mailed from a pharmacy. It was a win-win for the cat and for us. Also, tell folks it is not always necessary to cut their cat. Well, wait a minute. That's two different topics. All right. Tell the folks it's not always necessary to cut their cat's nails if the paws are normal and no extra digits, etc. Our cat is almost 9, uses several well-placed scratching posts indoors, and has never needed a trim, which could mean terrible trauma for the cat and the owner. All right. So the first part about this was hyperthyroidism way 10, 15 minutes ago. What do you think? Do you remember the
it's
question?
It's probably compounded, yes. You know, by one of the online pharmacies.
Online pharmacies,
yeah.
Which are great because they make them quite palatable.
Yeah. Okay.
And yes, but there's plenty of cats that won't eat even that. So mm-hmm. he was very lucky to get his cat. And then I digress and say older cats need their nails trimmed. Mm. When they get older, yeah. I don't think they scratch as much.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I see ingrowns in the 18-year-olds a lot. So
and aside from that, I don't like my cat's nails to be long because when they start making biscuits on me, they leave scars.
I love that term, making. That's exactly it, making biscuits.
I didn't make that up. That's,
no?
No, that's like a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've owned a cat a long time and I've never heard it, so it's news to me.
You got to hang out biscuits. With us more.
Let's take a break. Well, let's do the show every day. 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas, Dr. Susan Ciculli. It's Pets and Vets. We'll hit the phone in a moment. Sonny Rollins, How High the Moon here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. The astronomy show's tomorrow, so we'll ask the question, how high the moon? What, about 260,000 miles
or
so?
I think that's about right.
Pretty high.
You're good.
We'll have Bob Berman and Valerie Rapson with us tomorrow. But right now, it's Pets and Vets with Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Ciculli. And let's start at 800-348-2551. Vivian is in Albany. Hello, Vivian.
Hey, can you hear me?
You bet. Go ahead.
So we have a new baby, 6 months old, and we have two 11-year-old Norwegian forest cats. And we, for a long time, they were our only babies. And the transition has gone pretty well, with the exception of the male sibling showing increased neediness, and especially around food. He's been going after human food for the first time ever, ran off with a meatball the other night.
Oh, boy.
yep. And he often mirrors the baby, so he really needs to be on the other parent when the baby is nursing. And it just hasn't, we thought that as the baby got older, it would kind of equalize or taper off, but it just seems to be getting more and more intense. So I was wondering if you have any advice for behavioral support, looking for some professional.
I know it's a tough situation for you, but it's so cute. The cat is trying to be like a baby. All right, what do you think, Docs?
It really is.
Go for it.
Wow. I give the one advice to keep waiting it out, because 6 months is not long enough to have a development, and it sounds like overall they're doing good. I've had some clients where, say, the baby cries and the cats are gone, right? Mm-hmm. So at least they're staying around and wanting to be with you. Just double check, make sure that your cat's not now hyperthyroid.
Exactly.
Because that can, so that can be like a simple, oh, now all of a sudden they're eating a whole lot more, and maybe that's more medical than behavioral at this point.
Oh, good idea.
And then, they always say that when you pay attention to the cat when the baby's around, and when the baby isn't around, you shouldn't pay as much attention to the cat
so that
they start associating good behavior with the baby rather than, but then you're exhausted by that. So.
That's a lot of energy.
Yeah. Yes. Well, but congratulations on your new baby. That's
exciting. Thank you for the advice. We'll head to the vet soon.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. You know, cats are neurotic.
Okay.
B, has anyone done a study? And of course, intelligence is sort of quantitative and qualitative. So you can't really match apples and oranges.
No.
But can you tell about what a normal cat would be on a human IQ scale?
Oh.
I think there's ranges in that. I think some cats are smarter than others.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Right? So
I did have a cat named Doofy for a reason. Started out as Rufus, but it became apparent he was
a doofus.
Yeah.
That's a really good question, right? We should look into that.
We'll make that homework for next time.
Thanks a lot.
Let's go to Peter in Pittsfield. Peter, you're on.
Here it is.
Hello. That's not a good start. Oh, yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I apologize about that.
That's okay.
In terms of, I know you briefly touched on this, but I just want to make sure I'm clear. If you have an indoor cat primarily, or let's say a semi-indoor cat, and you want to trim his nails, but you don't want to agitate the cat, let's say the cat is sort of a little high-strung to begin with, how can you do this without getting mauled? That's my question.
One nail a day. That's what I have people do.
Gabapentin.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Ask your vet for gabapentin.
Happy Gabby.
We have many clients
and so what is that?
Gabapentin. It's our little chill pill. It just chills them. And,
really?
And makes it, yes, I have a cat that's was feral-ish, and that's what I do now. I give her a little Gaba, and it helps.
But that's not an everyday thing.
No, but you only give it. You only have to trim the nails like every couple months, even.
Okay.
You know, that kind of. And you're right.
So you give gabapentin to a feline?
You do, yes.
They love it.
Yep. It helps well.
Why don't we just give them some catnip and some caffeine pills while we're at it?
Ouch, man. Okay.
That'll have the opposite effect.
They would. Yes.
That'll go the other direction.
It does.
Yeah.
But we do like, you know, getting them used to it when they're kittens. You know, that is the kitten comments that I always make is get them used to touching their their fingers, their nails, and getting them used to it. Because you're right, it's tougher. And maybe bringing them to the vet at that point when they do get older. I mean, we see a fair number, again, of we trim nails for older cats mostly.
Right. Okay. Peter, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
800-348-2551 is our telephone number. How about a dog question?
Yeah, right.
All right, here we go. Hannah in North Adams. I have a nearly two-year-old mutt. Pit bull dominant, 30%, but as many other sporting, hunting, and guard breeds, I have had another pit bull before who also had a sensitive stomach, but responded well to adding pumpkin when she had diarrhea. This pup seems to have a sensitivity to pumpkin. His diarrhea gets worse. We've been given two medications by our vet. Prolactin was the first, and I'm forgetting the other one that we tried. Both of these also made his diarrhea worse. Mm-hmm. I would say he has diarrhea at least once a month. We aren't sure why. When he does, our current method to treat it is just putting him on a boiled chicken and rice diet for a few days. I'm curious if you have any other ideas, be it medication or holistic, that might help when he has diarrhea. We've heard of maybe plain Fiber One cereal. It's from Hannah.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely be exploring a food sensitivity at this point, but, you know, aside from that, I would say psyllium husks are a nice addition.
Psyllium, what is that?
Yeah, it's fiber. It's kind of what's in Metamucil, but Metamucil, Metamucil has, I think, orange flavoring, so I just tell people get plain psyllium husks. And there's doses published online on how much to give, but it's a way to, you know, fiber fixes most things. And some dogs have fiber responsive diarrhea, meaning that's all they need on a regular basis is just some fiber, which is basically a prebiotic. So, you know, prebiotic. And then if, you know, things are going well, you could add a probiotic as well. But those I go very slowly with in dogs that are sensitive. I don't start with a full dose. Like I start with a quarter dose and work up when things are stable. So
if the bland diet helped then maybe they stay with the bland diet look for foods
and
that are
get
just
it balanced.
Get it balanced and
do home cooked if they're up for it, you know.
Yep.
It may be a sensitivity to processed food, but monthly is not too bad though, so something else is maybe going on there.
I'm sorry if I was a pet, you'd call me doofus too. But what what is psyllium? I've never heard of this thing.
I don't even know what it's from. Is it from the wheat plant, or I'd have to look that up? But it comes in cans, and it's just fiber. People put it in their smoothies, or you can sprinkle it on cereal. But it basically functions as a prebiotic, which just means that it's a fiber that kind of feeds the good bacteria in your gut. So now I have to look that up.
Okay,
to
fair enough. I'll take a call. It's Pets and Vets with Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. 800-348-2551 is our number. Sharon is in North Adams. Hello, Sharon. You're on.
Yeah, hi. I have a 14-year-old indoor only cat who got out 4 nights ago and has been missing. I haven't seen her. I haven't heard a peep. It's been extremely cold here every night. I've looked all over the neighborhood, gone through my yard fence on the woods, or, you know, I mean, it goes up against the woods. So I've walked all through the woods to see if there's any place where she might be hiding. And, you know, I put out flyers with all my neighbors, and I don't know what else to do. Do you have any other suggestions?
Oh, that is so sad. I'm sorry to hear that. That's a tough one because she's probably not used to being outside, right? And you're worried. I think she can survive. I'd look closer to home than you'd realize. Some of them just stay right around and like are under something. If you have a local TNR program around you, that might help get a have a heart trap and try to put that around. So maybe she would go in that.
Okay.
Hey, Sharon, let me ask you a question. How close are you to your neighbors? How near are they?
Good question.
Are they with, you know, several acres away or next door? Are they?
No. It's a suburban area.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. One time, not too many years ago, Mitchell got lost, and Mitchell was gone for a day. And we, you know, Mitchell is a dope in many ways, but knows how to get home. Mitchell was in a garage, in a neighbor's garage.
Yep. Same.
And it's a good first step.
Very good point. Yeah. Yep. They can get stuck somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's why I put flyers around the neighborhood everywhere and talked to as many people as I could. Okay. But nobody's, you know, seen her. And actually, it's been so cold that very few people have had their garages open or their sheds open or anything. And so it's, you know, it's a real dilemma. How long can they live outside in the elements?
A long time.
Months, yes, they can survive. They're amazing.
Yeah, in fact,
without
go ahead.
Food and water.
Oh, sure.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
You could leave some food and water, or at least water out for her. Food will, it might attract other creatures, but
leave a little food out. I think that would be helpful.
What about your piano teacher?
Our piano teacher's cat, they moved, and the cat got out in Lake Luzerne, which is a full half an hour from where they lived, and the cat was gone for 4 months, and everyone gave up hope, and it showed up at their old house. I know.
So,
yeah,
even
10 miles.
Though a cat might be an indoor cat,
they can survive.
And the cat can probably smell your house, too. You know what I mean? Not that your house stinks.
Impossible journey.
But they have great sense of smell. All right, Sharon, good luck. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Eric is in Calicoon. Eric. Wow, that's what happened.
Hello.
Hi. You're on, yes.
Sorry, I was walking in from them.
Okay.
Here's the situation. I have a dog, a Labrador Retriever. She has a very good friend, another lab. Her friend lives in a house with a cat. And we just learned there's circumstantial evidence that that cat has worms.
Oh, boy.
And I'm just wondering what the next – my dog is over there fairly often. And being a lab, I don't want to elaborate too much, but
we know. I think I know what you're going to say.
So I just wonder what I should do next. Should I observe her stool? Should I go ahead and make a vet appointment? Should I, you know, that's expensive, obviously, but I want to do whatever's best for her.
Do you know what kind of parasite the kitty has?
No, this is just... It's sort of a cleaning lady. She was feeding the cat while our friend is away. She just noticed visually that what she saw is some white worms.
Yeah.
Tapeworms.
Okay. Tapeworms. So the good.
Just this morning, our friend.
So that's good news because the tapeworms cannot be transmitted from animal to animal. So that is actually, the one that you probably want to have your neighbor's cat.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It's good news. So for your dog to get a tapeworm, your dog has to eat a flea. The flea is the intermediate host of the tapeworm's life cycle. So there's no, even if your dog is snacking in the litter box, as they like to do.
That's disgusting.
That particular parasite will not get transmitted that way.
All right.
Okay. Other ones can, though. So
you could watch for anything if you're concerned that your dog might have had fleas that would have gotten the tapeworms that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Eric,
good question.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Pets and Vets today with Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Ciculli. Okay, let's go to Greenwich. I assume it's Greenwich, New York, and not Greenwich, Connecticut. Barb, where are you?
It's actually Greenwich, New York.
You're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call. It is a canine question, and I understand that there's both a southern Lyme's disease in this area now, along with our local Lyme's disease. My question is, how effective are the Lyme's disease vaccines nowadays? We've had our dog die of complications due to Lyme's disease in the past, so we're very apprehensive about it.
Yes.
Moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I'm very sorry to hear that. I also lost a dog to, was it the Lyme nephritis that your dog had, the kidney renal complication?
Well, I was told by the vet that at one point they had both types of Lyme's disease.
Well, I mean, the more fatal complication in dogs involves the kidneys, and about 1% of dogs who get Lyme disease will develop that. You know, the Lyme vaccine itself is not as effective as I wish it were. It's only about 60% effective because it's a bacterium. We get really wonderful immunity from viruses, vaccines that are geared towards viruses. But for bacteria, it's only about 60% effective. But that's not nothing. I personally am a fan of aggressive tick preventative, and I really like the products that have a repellent effect because it not only protects your dog, but it also protects you. You'll have fewer ticks in your house. And also, I'm finding that a lot of dogs on flea and tick preventative are still picking up anaplasma. So I suspect that one has a quicker transmission than the Lyme, which is, takes about 24 hours. At least that's, you know, the official word right now. So there's no 100% safe way to protect your dog. But if you wanted to do everything, I would say use a tick preventative that has a repellent effect and give the vaccine. But keep in mind, the vaccine itself is not, it's not as good as it, I wish it were.
All right, Barb.
Correct. Now, one other question. If that's the case with the tick preventative, at what age should you start preventing that as a puppy?
Oh, like pretty much immediately. I mean, whatever the labels are for these various medications, I would follow them. But right now it's high tick season. Spring and fall are the busy times.
Okay.
So, yeah, unfortunately, it is definitely a scourge.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Barb, thanks a lot for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's see. Was that two dog questions in a row?
That's right.
You ready for, should we do a cat question?
Okay, yeah, fine.
All right, let's do a cat question. We'll go to Saratoga. Rich. Rich, you're on.
Yeah, hi there. We have a six-month-old male cat, you know, very friendly guy. We adopted him. We do live out, you know, in an area where there's wildlife, coyotes, foxes, et cetera. And so, you know, my wife is adamant that the cat, you know, stay inside as the sun goes down, despite his best efforts to want to be outside. And he, you know, he ultimately settles down, but I'm just curious as to, you know, at what point do you let the cat pursue what it's looking for as opposed to the human desire of protection?
Good question.
The million-dollar question.
Yeah. Mm. I like your wife's opinion, personally. There is lots of challenges out there as they get older, and he is young, and yes, they can get streetwise, but I hear many a client that loses a cat because they're out there in the wild, and nighttime is the worst. So
for
it,
what?
It is a
just
challenge.
Predators
just
and such.
Yeah. Yeah. Predators. Yeah. Owls. Yeah. I had a client that an owl came down in the early morning.
Yikes!
Yeah, it was not good.
Oh.
So, all right, Rich.
Yeah, I'd keep your marriage and stay with the wife.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Had some guys from the DEC on yesterday, and I was kind of surprised, but bears will take out little animals too.
Mm. Yeah.
I did not know that. I thought they just went for the garbage and you know, but yeah, small dog, small cat.
Okay. Oh, no kidding. I don't think I knew that either, actually.
Eat them. Really?
Wow.
Huh. Okay. I guess they're omnivores, but yeah, I didn't think of them as
kind of scary. All right, let's do an email, then we'll take a break, and then we'll go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Angry Cats is the subject.
Aren't they all angry?
They're scared.
I'm just kidding.
They're angry or asleep or eating. You may remember me from last month, says Mary Lou. I have the rescue tuxedo Cricket, who has a tongue that hangs out. Ah, yes.
Oh, yes.
I thought by now Cricket and Bug would be getting along. Bug has been an only cat for 15 years, doesn't like the intrusion of the six-year-old. I hoped by now they would be sleeping together or walking past one another without hissing and paws swinging. They never make contact in their fights, but is there anything I can do to calm them down? I have two diffusers, two on order. That means four diffusers in six rooms. They eat in the same room and have no problem with meals or snacks. Bug has claimed the bed with me and won't let Cricket in the room at night. Sunday morning, I woke and Bug was gone. I threw back the covers and there was Cricket. I hope she's not pushing Bug out. I feel so guilty. I hope Bug doesn't hate me. And that's from Mary Lou. Well, there's an awful lot to unpack there. I think you, maybe the cat and you both have issues. But what do you think?
Oh, they're so tough.
Yeah.
A
month isn't that long.
No.
That's just a blip in
theirs and
cat adjustments.
Just keep providing lots of different spaces for them. Mm-hmm. That's what I say. So even if the one cat's now out of the bedroom because they don't want it on the bed, put like a different area for that cat to be in.
Yeah.
That, you know, has maybe a little bed, but beside the bed.
And the diffusers are for feel away? Is that what it is?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that'll eventually work, right?
I don't know.
Sometimes it's hit or miss, isn't it?
I mean, gabapentin all around? Would that work?
That probably would, actually.
All right.
It's a great idea.
Eventually, they'll get along.
I mentioned Zelkine, and I sort of like that one. It's a supplement. It's a colostrum supplement. I think that sort of helps a little, too.
Yeah.
Just an over-the-counter thing, so you don't need a prescription for that one. Z-Y-L-K-E-N-E.
Yeah. Could you use it in a sentence? Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets. Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Chris Dallas. Back to the phones in a moment. And Vets, Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas from Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services and Dr. Susan Ciculli from Just Cats. And Chris, breaking news. You know what psilium is.
I know what psilium is.
Internet,
I know.
Right?
Wikipedia.
That's it.
Right in my back pocket. Plantago ovata is the name of the plant. I've never heard this before, but it's also known as blonde plantain, blonde psyllium, desert Indian wheat, and a name that I cannot I can't pronounce that. There's a BGH in the middle of it. I don't know how to make that sound, but it's native to the Mediterranean region and naturalized in Central, Eastern, and South Asia and North America.
I'll be darned.
So there you go. But it's a soluble fiber, kind of turns into a gelatinous. It is just like Metamucil. I mean, it's basically.
Yeah.
All right. So now we know.
It is Metamucil.
Now we know.
Now let's go to Saratoga Springs. Right. Jackie, you're on.
I have a 4-year-old Bernedoodle, and he has a sour stomach. So periodically, he throws up like a yellow bile, and he won't eat or drink anything. He's not very motivated for food normally, but sometimes in the morning you can tell that there's a sort of a smell coming from him, a sour bile smell, and then he won't eat anything all day long. We've put him on sort of a bland diet, strictly a regular dog food diet, and the vet had also recommended trying omeprazole, which we're trying, but he still seems to be throwing up periodically, and I'm talking maybe once every week and a half or so, that bile.
Yeah.
Any suggestions?
Yeah. I mean, one easy thing that you could try is giving him a snack before bedtime, just in case it's from sort of a buildup of the acid overnight. Some dogs can't go, you know, like 14 hours or 15 hours. Did you try that?
We tried that. Tried giving him treats at night, you know, trying to feed him later, and it still happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that might require a workup. I've had a few dogs present with that, and it was like an early sign of like an inflammatory bowel disease. I'm hoping that's not the case for your dog, but you may want to have your vet start some blood work just to see if there's early signs of that. There is a blood panel that can start to identify whether that is something we're headed towards. But have you tried a
homemade... Would that manifest itself...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you go, please.
I was just going to say, have you tried a homemade diet to see if that makes it better? Even just for like a couple weeks?
No, we tried like, you know, the... farmer's dog or whatever that kind of food is, and he gets sick of a food after like a couple weeks and then just won't eat it.
Yeah, there might be some nausea.
I never met a dog that was not food motivated. Yeah. This one could care less.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would work it up a little bit with your vet. Just ask them to run, you know, a blood panel. There's a GI blood panel that runs like 4 indices, and that might just give you some idea as to whether you're heading in that direction. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping it's a more superficial problem, but it's probably worth looking into.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Chris. I think sometimes we think they're finicky, but I think there's an underlying nausea associated.
Yeah, and the fact that you said he gets tired of a food after a period of time makes me think he's developing an aversion. So these are called learned aversions. It's kind of like when you eat something and then you don't feel good.
Oh,
you can't eat that again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then he
dogs
feels
and
nauseous
cats
and goes, I might not want that.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't vomit it, but he just doesn't
feel great. Yeah, yep. So I think it's worth the workup, though, just to make sure you're not heading in that direction. So,
and would the GI workup also do any kind of allergies, or that's wholly separate?
Food allergies are tough. We do have tests for food allergies, but we tend to get a lot of false positives on those. The way to do a true food allergy test is to do an elimination diet where you would feed one carbohydrate and one novel protein for 3 months and you'd see what happens. But, that's a little bit
takes
more
years.
Involved. Yeah, it takes a long time. It's very labor intensive.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It would be called a GI blood panel.
Yeah, GI. If you say GI blood panel, they'll know what you're talking about.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. So omeprazole for dogs, is this a thing?
Yeah,
over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
How
the dog can't swallow a pill, right? What do you just hide it and put
Some of my clients are really good. They can just
pop it down.
Pop it right down.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Throw it to the back of the throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
amazing.
But easier is just to like make a meatball or like stick some peanut butter on it and stick it on the roof of their mouth and they'll get it down eventually, for the most part. Some of them are very smart.
Now Omep is okay, but not Pepcid?
No, we do Pepcid too.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's just practitioner's preference. Do you have a preference? Or
I don't use either of those.
I use either.
Serenia.
Oh, you do?
I use the prescription Serenia.
Okay,
I love that.
Yeah, I like
so
Serenia. Yeah.
Dogs and cats will get reflux essentially, or that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Elizabeth in Scotia. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, I was going to make the suggestion. My cats are semi outside, they're outside if I'm outside, but. If I lose track of somebody, I find that if I leave, I stay home, of course, and I watch the door, but I don't sit outside the door, and usually they'll come in to use the litter pan, so I don't know what that person's, they work from home or not, and then in the long shot is, of course, to have a heart trap.
Yeah.
For the one that's lost. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. But I usually find their hiding spot is right nearby.
Yes. I've heard,
and they'll,
too.
Eventually come in and use the litter pan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Well,
thank
you very much. Now, if
that's
a cat
a
is
idea.
Hiding outside,
yeah.
Does that indicate there's a medical problem with the cat?
No,
or just the cat's being trouble?
Yeah, they're scared. Yeah.
Well, especially if it's an indoor cat that doesn't go out. They just freeze somewhere very hidden. So.
And they won't listen to you. You know, you'll be calling for hours and they'll be like, I can't move.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that frozen.
All right, Petersburg. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Oh, pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. I got a question. I'm kind of a softie. Every time the neighborhood dogs walk by or I'm walking, I see them. I like to bring a little couple treats, you know, a little something. And I always ask, is it okay if I give your dog something? And most of them are good, but when they walk by the house, either in Petersburg or where we live in New Jersey too, the dogs always like are pulling the owners towards my garage. I'm guessing it's a bad habit, but I like, you know, I'm a chef, so I like to spoil people with food. So, I mean, that's normal, right? I mean, dogs, you know, they want to eat, right?
Literally a Pavlovian response right there.
They are food motivated, as cats are, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
Well, Robert, as a chef, what's the favorite thing you make for
treat?
The pets?
The pets, baked sweet potato slices. They love that.
Nice.
Oh, interesting.
That's nice, because then you don't have to worry about, like, protein allergies and dogs on prescription diets.
That's a great one.
That's very good one.
Wait, now, do you feed the cats that are outside, too? Or, you know, I just have to put in a little clue for that.
There really aren't that many cats. Most of them are, they're not around anymore. The owners just didn't decide to get any, but I do like getting, like, a rotisserie chicken. I don't eat a lot of white meat. Can the animals have the ones, the chickens, the breasts that don't have, like, the salt water added?
Yeah, that's fine, as long as the owners are cool with it. I feel like we see a lot of food allergies now, and chicken seems to be the bad guy right now. So.
Yep. Me too.
As long as you're checking with the owners, that's fine.
Robert, thanks a lot. Now, if a cat eats too much people food, it's pancreatitis time, right?
Depends.
Yeah, not always.
It depends. Some cats, I think the older they are, the more susceptible they can be to pancreatitis.
If
they're not used to, my cat eats a lot of our food and they're fine.
Like, Mitchell did in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, literally everything. And then Mitchell at one point got
pancreatitis.
Well, I don't know what it was,
but he got irritable.
Yes.
Stomach
did not,
stuff.
And then got over it, but didn't really eat any people food after
ever.
That.
Interesting. So that's almost
another aversion.
Probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Let's go to Anna in Hudson. Nope, Judy in Monroe. Hello, Judy.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet.
Love your show. Love public radio.
Yay. Absolutely.
So my pup, she's 5 now, but she has, and her anxiety is getting a bit worse during any loud noises, especially, of course, the 4th of July, any kind of firecrackers or shots or anything like that. And I'm wondering what. I've tried a lot of things like bundling her up and, darkness and holding and, but what medications would you recommend?
Well, if it's something.
If I needed to give her something, I remember in the old days, like really old days, my parents gave my dog when I was a kid a Valium, a little bit of Valium, and that would take some edge off.
Yep, I remember.
But
that.
Valium was everywhere then.
That's true.
Is it
Jerry
mostly...
Lewis, the veterinarian?
Yeah, there you go.
Is it mostly thunderstorms? I mean, is that the big trigger?
Thunderstorms, she's not happy with those either, it just seems like a lot of neighbors like to have those fireworks going. All of July.
Yeah, that is hard.
Any other holiday.
That's hard because it's like you don't necessarily want to sedate her for like
every
a full
night.
Month of
yeah.
a full month of the year, but
no.
There are some herbal options that you could consider. There are one supplement made for dogs that's got valerian root in it, and valerian root just kind of calms the nervous system a little bit. It's called Nutricom.
Yeah, I drink the tea all the time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so it's called Nutricom. That's one that's
called Nutricom.
Over the counter. And sorry, I just heard an echo of my own
voice.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
That was weird.
You sounded great.
I know a regular vet would probably prescribe either trazodone or even gabapentin, actually.
Does it? Yeah.
That's another one. Mm-hmm. But one little practical option that one of my clients does, which I love, is when she hears a thunderstorm coming, she takes a pot and she makes popcorn, but she leaves the lid off. And she lets the popcorn, she plays really loud music, and she lets the popcorn explode around the kitchen, and her two dogs go crazy.
You're distracting them.
Yeah, whenever the thunderstorms come, they run to the stove and they wait for the popcorn to start flying.
That's pretty smart.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Judy, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Now, Anna and Hudson, you're on.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I have an 11-year-old pit bull with albinism, and she's recently become incontinent, probably like 6 months ago. It took a long time for them to figure out what was going on, but they think that it's a MRSA-like bacteria in her bladder. But she's been on this really strong antibiotic, an antibiotic that can cause leukemia in humans.
Jeez.
And, yeah, so we've had to give her this, and it's been about 3 months since she's been on it. I'm wondering if there's, you know, there's an alternative explanation for this incontinence. Should I get a second opinion? You know, is it something that you all have heard of before?
Mm. Has she had an ultrasound to look for stones or any kind of malformations in her bladder?
They did. They looked, and it was completely uninteresting, or whatever the term they used for it was. Normal. All her blood work has been normal. The way that they found the MRSA was that they cultured it,
yeah.
Because she drinks so much water that mm-hmm. she, you know, her sepsis comes back and like blank her like test urinalysis
yeah.
does.
Have you done a culture while she's on the antibiotic to make sure it's actually being addressed?
They have not done that. We did a okay. month of the antibiotics, and then she went off of it, and she got sick again very quickly, and so we restarted it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a little scary. Mm. I know one thing that was being done for a while is I believe Adequan injections were considered for kind of smoothing the lining of the bladder. Adequan's actually normally used as an injectable for arthritis, but somewhere in the back of my head, I'm remembering that potentially being useful just to help the inside of the bladder heal a little bit. But, you know, it may be worth talking to an internal medicine specialist. Mm-hmm. They can do contrast studies and things mm-hmm. that regular vets just don't have the resources yeah. for. So I wouldn't argue with, an appointment with an internist.
I would agree.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Anna. Appreciate the call. Mark in Burnt Hills writes in, cardiomyopathy, more common in cats that go outdoors versus indoors only. Is this a thing?
I don't think so.
No?
Not that I've seen a difference because of that. No, it's most of the times hereditary, mm-hmm. congenital. So, no, I don't think it's one versus the other.
Okay, let's go. Let's grab one more here at least before we wrap it up with Susan Ciculli and Chris Dallas. Nancy is in New York. The state or the city?
The state.
Okay. Undisclosed location. You're on.
New York.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do. I actually have a question for my daughter. She adopted a couple of cats a few months ago, and she says she's using that litter that shows that if there's blood in the urine. And I'm just wondering if there's a holistic, I mean, she feeds them the best food, raw dynamics, so on. So I'm wondering if there's a holistic treatment for this.
Okay, before we get to the treatment, Nancy, we have 1 minute. You reacted, Dr. Ciculli. Why did you react to
it? Pretty litter, and we've just had this whole conversation at our clinic about it on whether how reliable it is on when it changes color and what it means. So it's supposed to change color if there's blood in it or and leukocytes, I think, which we don't really use for reliability.
So there's some question about it.
I would question whether there's really something going on and make sure you check that urine first.
But still, a false positive, if it is a positive, is not a good thing.
It's not a good
thing. So we only have about 30 seconds. Chris Dallas, a holistic approach.
I don't know of any holistic. Are we talking about a holistic approach to litter? Is
that the question? Blood in the urine.
Oh, to blood in the urine.
If there's cystitis or something going on.
Oh, I see. Yep. Well, that's a long conversation, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have 15 seconds.
Yeah, so. I don't have that 15-second answer. Yeah, but she's doing raw, so.
Yeah,
I
mean,
she did go to canned food more. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Nancy, I'm afraid we're out of time. I'm so sorry, but thank you for that and good luck. Yep. All right, Dr. Susan Ciculli, how do people find Just Cats on the internet and in Poison?
www.justcatsvet.com.
And you're in Saratoga and Gilderland,
Saratoga,
right?
Saratoga and Gilderland, yes.
All right, Dr. Chris Dallas, how about the ancient arts thing?
And I am ancientartsveterinary.com.
You know, it was so fun to have the team back together.
It is.
It's like a family.
It is like a family. It's without the arguing, which is nice.
Right.
Hey, thank you both. We'll see you next time.
Support comes from
Dr. Amy Jo Davison, osteopathic physician, Germantown, New York, providing holistic care for infants to adults, utilizing a manipulative medicine approach for wellness. adavisondo.com. And Agricultural Stewardship Association, working to help people conserve farmland and forests in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve working land for good forever. agstewardship.org. Once again, thanks to Dr. Susan Zekouli and Dr. Chris Dallas for being here today. Thank you for listening. Apologies if we didn't get to your question. We do this topic once a month, and we'll do it again next month. Thanks again to our engineer, Zach Malloy, a sainted individual. Also, phone screened admirably by Andrea Leong. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the show, it's astronomy. Dr. Valerie Rapson is here, and Bob Berman, who has been just about everywhere on planet Earth in the last couple of months, and maybe other planets. He'll be back, and we'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.